Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Jabari Parker, eh? What'd you score in that game, Tony?
I don't remember. I couldn't even tell you.
How about if we? I bet if we look it up, Tony scored like 20 points in that game.
Well, I mean, if Jabari was guarding him.
Wow. Wow.
A few moments later.
And some people have described it as Butler saying that he might want to come back here and play with the assembled young guys that the Bulls have on their roster. Tony's making the same face that I'm making right now, which is no!
Hey, we good, fam.
Yes!
We good.
That is the correct answer,
you know,
Tony.
What, you know what this is.
It's
the Bulls' new role as the Chicago Leverage.
I know someone.
Campy has been killing it today.
Yeah, Campy's on. He's on one today.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
I would imagine that that is the first time in the history of Rick Camp's life at the Score that he was the focus of an open in a positive way.
I was just going to say complimented.
Yeah, that. How many? I got a lot of Chicago Leverage artwork thrown my way on Instagram by people. And we were doing the group chat for the show. Y'all are good. We're doing this. We are going to do the Chicago Leverage t-shirts. That's happening. This hour is being brought to you by Mancari, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram on 95th Street in Oak Lawn. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a tremendous show planned for you today. We do that every day, but we're bringing some people into the house, which I think is going to be great listening. So, 1 o'clock today, we are going to have a Cubs roundtable. We invited in Evan Altman from Cubs Insider. We invited in Sahadev Sharma from The Athletic and Tony Andracki from NBC Sports Chicago. We're going to sit around and let them talk Cubs. We're going to have a conversation about the team. Those are guys that are inside the clubhouse every day. So they'll have more information than you can handle, and it'll be a good time. We're just going to talk a little baseball. So 1 o'clock, not that we're not going to talk about the Cubs in the first hour of the show, but I just wanted to alert you to be around at 1 o'clock because we're going to have a fun roundtable. We like doing those. We like inviting people in to the studio and having conversations. A lot of times our Bulls roundtables are just the four of us, me, Tony, Campy, and we drag Cody out of his room to do it. It's nice when we have guests that are willing to come in and hang with us. And so 1 o'clock today, Cubs roundtable is going to be dope. But we start the show as we start all things with the rundown.
Run them down.
The rundown.
Here is your rundown for Wednesday, May 22nd. Man, Tony, when we play this, this is kicking off the rundown, right? When we play this, there's going to be a lot of angry Blackhawks fans.
They've waited 49 years, and the St. Louis Blues are going to the Stanley Cup Final.
Let's go, Blues! Yeah!
Oh, and if you needed more evidence that Pam Beasley is trash, that was her cheering on the Blues. So there it is. Here's the thing about this. No one wants Boston to win either, right? So is there a way that they can play seven games and then just be perpetually in overtime in game seven? Like, they're just always skating and there's no end to it.
Do we have to root for the NHL to dissolve?
We have to root for a strike. That's who we have to root for. That the NHL somehow has a strike between now and the start of the Stanley Cup final.
Let's do that hockey.
Well, I mean, a lot of Blackhawks fans don't want to do that hockey right now because the St. Louis Blues might win the Stanley Cup. And it's put us all. You are a trash human being, Pam Beasley. It puts us all in an awkward position. Do we root for Boston to win another championship in a calendar year or the Blues? Like I said, 7-game series that never ends would be great. And then they just start the next season while they're still playing. Oh, well, I guess there's no champion for 2018-2019.
All the Blackhawks fans in Chicago, we're just all going to forget that this season even happened.
Yeah, the last two seasons.
And the one before.
What's the stat on the Blackhawks? They have not won a playoff series since they won the Cup.
Is that good?
It's not good. I'm going to go on record and say that is not – winning a cup is good, but not winning a playoff series since you won a cup, not a good thing. Let's move on to baseball. Not a good thing last night for my Chicago White Sox because Justin Verlander was out there just throwing gas, but Aloy's ankle seems to be okay.
Payoff pitch. Hit in the air, left field side. Jimenez has a long way to go. He slides, and he makes the catch in left field to retire the side. We showed you how much space he had to cover, and he did it beautifully.
Look, it was a little clunky. I love Jason Benetti, but it was a little clunky, that play that Aloy made. It didn't matter. The Sox got beat 5-1 by the Astros. Verlander, 8 innings, 7 innings without giving up a hit. Struck out 12. Sox got one hit. One blank hit.
Is he, you know.
Who? Verlander? Okay, so what you're saying is that you're confused on how a guy who looked like he was done 4 years ago has regained form and become one of the more dominant guys in the league. That's it.
Doesn't Detroit wear you down after a while?
It does wear you down. But, I mean, usually guys don't gain back velocity after throwing that many innings.
Yeah.
But hey, the guy got married. He got reinvigorated. He got to Houston, and you're on a winning team. Maybe those are the reasons that we see the type of performance from Justin Verlander that we've seen. How about the NBA? We all buried the Toronto Raptors way too soon.
So Toronto battles their way back into the series. It's all even at 2-2. The Bucks winning the first two in Milwaukee in convincing fashion. Raptors take 2-0 Toronto.
The Eastern Conference Final is now tied at 2 apiece. That highlight courtesy of TNT. The Raptors 120, the Bucks 102. Okay, we got ourselves a series while the Warriors have 9 days to rest before they're going to have everyone back. Like, Durant's going to be back. Cousins is going to be back. Hardaway is going to play. Like, everyone will be ready.
Chris Mullin.
Well, he's not doing anything right now, so you might as well get him ready to play. The only thing he's doing is the Felipe Lopez 30 for 30. By the way, if you haven't seen it, you should. It's tremendous.
And now they got Warriors classic style back and just insert Durant. And I've always said that the Spurs in the Miami series where they just smashed LeBron and the Heatles, that was the best basketball I've ever seen in my life. That may, this coming up finals, they may surpass that.
Warriors classic is a good thing. And I just, what's wrong with Kevin Durant? What's he got? What's he got, a calf?
Calf.
Does Steph just accidentally kick him in the calf? Hey, KD, boom. Sorry, man. I guess you're going to be out for the NBA finals. I guess we'll just have to go back to playing this beautiful style of basketball that can't be beaten.
People already forgetting those two straight finals MVPs.
Look, you're not wrong, but they're 30-1 when Steph plays and KD doesn't.
Have they lost a finals since they've had KD?
No. And again, you're not wrong. All I'm saying is that LeBron's not on the other side.
I'm just trying to keep everybody honest here because, boy, because of a couple games, everybody's forgetting what KD does.
It's 31 games now.
Yeah, 31.
It's 31 games, and here's what people forget, Campy. They forget that the other dude is a two-time league MVP.
Right.
And I think belongs in the GOAT conversation. And apparently Andre Iguodala agrees with me on that. He said recently to The Athletic that Steph is behind Jordan. That might be going a little far. But I think that he should at least be in the GOAT conversation. And our lead story on today's rundown. It's amazing watching the people on the text lines and on Twitter about the Blues. People, big man, as you should be. As you should be. The Cubs, our top story today. The ninth inning, you needed some things to happen, and some things happened in the right way that allowed for some heroics.
Low and outside for ball four. The tying run is on base as Chris Bryant draws a leadoff walk here in the bottom of the ninth inning.
So Bryant gets on with a walk. We'll get to him in a little bit. Then Rizzo steps up.
Rizzo swings, lines one down the right field line. Fair ball. This will roll all the way to the wall. Bryant rounds third. He'll stay right there. Rizzo, a stand-up double.
Butters put the stop sign up, and you're going, okay, I get it, because you don't want to get him thrown out. There's nobody out. And then things got a little wacky, and you get the tying run home because of a cue ball that Albert Almora Jr. hits.
Almora chops one toward the mound. It is scooped up by the pitcher. Home, throw, not in time. Bryant safe. Cubs tie up the game.
Yeah. And how about winning the game? Joe says, hey, Javi, go grab a bat. We need you right now. And Javi's like, wait, what? Whether or not he's going to get the run in? I think people know, Tony. We're reviewing it, yes, but.
Come on, theater of the mind, Lawrence.
All right, my bad. So then. Wait. Stop it, and I'll start it again, okay? All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. And then there was incredible drama as Javier Baez, with a hurt heel, picked up a bat in the pinch-hitting role of his life. All of Wrigley Field was breathless with anticipation. Would El Mago come through one more time? The answer, right now.
Here comes the pitch. Baez swings. Line drive. Base hit down the right field line. Fly the W. The Cubs win. Rizzo scores on the pinch hit walk-off single by El Mago, the magic man. Magnifico tonight.
Yeah, Zach! How about it? My man Zach Zabin on the call last night. Because Pat's got a couple days off, so Zach will have the game today on the score, and Pat will be back tomorrow. But, yeah, I love Zach. Can I hear that one more time? Like, kill the music. I got to give my boy Zach his proper due. Because you want to know how you call a walk-off on the radio? Like, you call the action, and then you have your stuff ready. Hit that for me one more time, Tony.
Here comes the pitch. Baez swings. Line drive. Base hit down the right field line. Fly the W. The Cubs win. Rizzo scores on the pinch hit walk-off single by El Mago, the magic man. Magnifico tonight.
Let's go, Zach. Let's go. That's how you do it, youngsters. That's right there is how you do it. So that is the rundown for your Wednesday, May 22nd. This segment is brought to you by Anthony Buick GMC in Gurnee. Get amazing savings during GMC Truck Month. Save 19% on a new 19 GMC Acadia and save 22% on a new 19 Buick Encore. Anthony Buick GMC in Gurnee. For offer details, visit anthonygurnee.com. You can't tell me that Zach Zabin didn't have you fired up. It's the combination. It's El Mago comes off the bench. He's hurt, but not that hurt. Fans are screaming because the Cubs are rallying in the ninth. And then Zach, like, put all his emotion into it. Fantastic. We need to take a break. I would like to talk about the Cubs. One Cub in particular, because the numbers are amazing. I'll share them with you next here on The Score.
It's just who I am, really. I mean, I just feel like this is me as a baseball player. I mean, I've worked in counts, get on base, base running, play all over. When I'm doing that, I feel pretty confident, so hopefully I can continue that.
Cubs third baseman and MVP, an MVP candidate for this season, Chris Bryant, talking about his level of confidence. When you were the best high school player, college player, rookie, and MVP, you would think that your confidence would be sky high. And now with the axe bat handle that he's got going on, Chris Bryant is back to, like, unstoppable Chris Bryant. Three hits for him in last night's game. It's been a really amazing turnaround for him. As the Cubs won last night 3-2, I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We're going to have a Cubs roundtable at 1. Sahadev Sharma from The Athletic is going to be here. Evan Altman from Cubs Insider and Tony Andracki from NBC Sports Chicago are all going to be in the house, and we're going to talk a little bit of Cubs with them. There's some other stuff, though, that we will get to. Because I think that Aaron Rodgers and Tony Gill are about to become best friends.
I've been wanting him to be my best friend for a while, so this is great.
I think you guys are going to be best friends.
The battle of Aaron Rodgers and Jim Boylan for Tony's friendship?
Well, I mean, I feel like Jim Boylan has kicked Tony to the curb for Jimmy Butler. Kicked him to the curb. No more tone for you.
It's possible, but yeah, I think Tony's the fallback plan.
It's a good fallback plan. Because as you said, he gave 20 to Jabari Parker in high school. You still haven't figured out how many you scored in that game?
I did not.
Did you not score at all?
No, I scored. It was kind of close until they took it away at the end.
There's got to be a box score somewhere, right?
I could see Tony being the guy that, like, Ricky Davis did at some point to get himself a triple-double.
I could see that, too. No, he was the responsible point guard. Where'd you go to school, Revis?
Revis. I wasn't even the point guard. I was a shooting guard at that point.
You're one of the, every time I bring up your high school basketball career, people come out of the woodwork and hit me up on Twitter like, nah, man, Tony was legit.
Monte Gill.
That's quite appropriate for Tony. So this morning, I'm out for a walk. I walked the South Shore this morning, which I always like to do because the houses are really nice, like right off of, like, in between 67th and 71st, Stony Island and the lake. The houses there are amazing. So I went for a walk, and I was listening to Mully and Haw on the way back to get ready for the day. And Zach Zaman was on, which was great. And you just heard Zach with the incredible call of Javier Baez's walk-off. And they asked Zach about Chris Bryant. It's something that, you know, you and I talk about all the time. His ability to be a great base runner on top of being a very good third baseman and an incredible hitter. One of the best traits about him is him being a smart and efficient base runner. So they asked Zach about Chris Bryant, the player. Here's what he said to him.
You take him for granted. You know what he can do at the plate, but you take it for granted that he can play a number of different positions all well. You don't even think about it, whether he's in the outfield, whether he's at first base or third base, wherever they put him. But the base running goes from an underrated standpoint. And to me, what he was able to do in the first inning, you know, because the Cubs the night before against Jake Arrieta had worked him into jams in the second, third, fourth, and fifth. And they managed just one run against Arrieta. And then last night in the first inning, he's standing on second base, just a routine ground ball by Contreras, deep in the hole at short. And Bryant never stopped running, scores the first run of the game. So that automatically puts a little bit of pressure on Philadelphia. And then to be able to score the tying run on the little dribbler by Almora right back to the mound, in the ninth inning. And again, this is where Coomer brought this up, and he's so right. The slide to home, he kept his foot down, didn't lift it up in the air. That allowed him to get in there and make sure he would beat the tag. Great base running. You score the second run of the game, and that allows Javier Baez to do his thing. But at the plate, let's not forget about Chris Bryant. 3-for-4 last night. He's now had 4 games with at least 3 hits over his last 9. When he's right, by himself, he has the ability to carry this team. And that's kind of what's taken place right now, especially with Anthony Rizzo now back from the back injury, Baez being hurt, not having Ben Zobrist in the lineup. So I think when you see Chris Bryant performing at the level that you saw back in 2016, now in 2019, it's kind of exciting to think of where this team could be as they navigate through some injury issues going forward.
So that was Zach, who will have the call tonight on Cubs baseball. Pat's got another night off. He will be back for tomorrow's game. Okay, so tomorrow's a day game against Philly, getaway day for them. But so Pat will be back for that. Zach's got the call tonight. I went and looked at Chris Bryant's splits because I was just curious. Like, obviously, he had that streak of games where he was getting on base. And now we're talking about, 30 games or so where Chris Bryant has been back to that version of Chris Bryant that you all fell in love with. Check this out. In April, Chris Bryant's on-base plus slugging was .734. Now, that's not horrible, but it's not great. Here's what he's done since the calendar moved to May. His May splits. His slash line is .338, .466, .746. For an OPS, his on-base plus slugging of 1.212. That is phenomenal. So how does he get to all of that? There's the 8 home runs in there, 19 RBIs. I think there's 3 doubles and a triple in there too. But my favorite of the Bryant stats, 16 walks versus 12 strikeouts for him in the month of May. He's been incredible. He is making a play for National League Player of the Month. And I think I was so happy to hear Carl Ravage bring it up in the broadcast last night. Because you know, if you've been listening to me, or that if you're a betting person, you should have thrown some dollars at Chris Bryant to win MVP because the odds were so long. Now, he still got, Bellinger's like been incredible. But I'm just saying that back then, you probably could have gotten those odds real long and made yourself some money if he actually keeps doing what he's doing. But it's been great. But there was some stuff in the Cubs game last night that was uncomfortable. Mainly the bullpen. Bullpen real uncomfortable last night. And it's still a work in progress when it comes to Carl Edwards Jr. It really is. And I'm going to talk with Sahadev when we have our roundtable because he wrote about with Edwards, it's always been a matter of the stuff is there. Can he just have command? And now, like, you're seeing the stuff not be there and be as effective as it once was. So for Edwards last night, you had him come in and pitch 2/3 of an innings and give up 2 hits and 2 earned runs. So not effective at all. And you end up in the spot that you're in. But our guy, Quintana, that creep can roll. 6 innings, 2 hits, none earned, strikeout 4, did a great job. And if you noticed, if you were watching the game last night, Quintana was hitting his spots very well, and he and Hunter Wendelstedt were at odds all game long about what was a strike and what wasn't a strike. But watching him, there was one at bat where he threw a pitch in a place that you can't hit it, and the batter swung at it, and it just dribbled. And just going, that is the definition of weak contact right there. A pitcher hitting the spot that he wanted to hit to induce it being close enough to the plate to make a guy swing, but far enough away from the plate that you weren't going to do anything with it. That was extremely exciting. And then, of course, you have the Baez. Him having the heel injury and being available at the end. And I kept that spot that Joe put Bodie in. I was going, is this where he puts Javi? And should I be worried that he didn't go to Javi because this is where you would want your MVP candidate to step in? But he picked the right time. He picked the absolute right time to insert Javi into the game. And El Magnifico. What else? The Magic Man. Wasn't the Magic Man Shake and Bake? Isn't that what he wanted to call himself? The Magic Man? Now you see me, now you don't.
El Mago, the Magic Man.
I love when, look, having done play-by-play with Zach, he's always prepared and he has a lot of fun. But he's a very serious dude when he opens up the microphone. So I love it when he actually, like, does the fun, Zach. Like when
Magnifico.
You're damn right, Zach. El Mago come out here and Magnifico. And the Cubs win. And we'll see what they will do tonight. Okay. Cole Hamels pitching tonight. So that'll be good. We need to take a break. When we come back, I know that you're probably a Bears fan. If you're within the sound of my voice, you're probably a Bears fan. But I'm going to tell you, in the next segment, I'm going to share something that is going to probably make you best friends with Aaron Rodgers. I know that it's what's going to happen between him and Tony. So you'll want to be here for this. It'll be next here on The Score. We are glad that you are hanging out with us. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, it's about 15 minutes from now, we are going to have a Cubs roundtable with Evan Altman, Sahadev Sharma, Tony Andracki. We're going to talk all things Cubs. You're going to want to be here for that because it's guys that are in the clubhouse, guys that follow the team every day, getting their opinion on what's going on with the team, I think is a great idea. And look, you got a first-place team to talk about. Why not talk about it with some guys that are experts in the field? And that's what they are. Before we went to break, I told you that I think that Tony and Aaron Rodgers are about to become best friends. And here's the reason why. And this is good company for Tony. Because Tony is a hot take artist. Like, this is what he does. It's his whole bit, if you listen to the show. Usually, the nuance is lost on Tony. And it's one of the things that we love about him because he's a counterbalance to me, where sometimes I worry too much about nuance and sometimes just need to fire away. It works out. And Campy's kind of the intermediate in that regard. And I think for the most part, over the, what, first 8 weeks of the show, it's worked out really well. But Tony has been irate about Game of Thrones. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong in his righteous indignation. He is not wrong about this. And so I ran across this yesterday. And I said, you know who's going to love this? Tony. Why? Because it is the measured Aaron Rodgers giving his thoughts on Game of Thrones. Now, remember, Aaron Rodgers was in the penultimate episode of Game of Thrones. He's a fan of Game of Thrones. And his feelings about the finale probably match yours.
Are you satisfied with the ending of Game of Thrones?
No. I love the show, and it was a great 10 years, but no. I mean, you come down to the end and Tyrion says the person with the best story is Bran, who, by the way, 3 episodes ago said he wasn't Bran Stark anymore. No, Jon had a better story. Dany had a better story. Arya had a better story. Sansa had a better story. Tyrion had a better story. Varys had a better story. Bronn, a lot better story. Jaime, better story. Cersei, probably better stories. Any Baratheon, better story.
So who should have been on the throne?
I mean, I think Danny should have been on the throne. Here's the thing, though. Here's my last theory about it. If Bran, the three-eyed raven, who's you know all about the health of the realm, let's think about what he did. He basically wanted the throne the whole time because he's the one that told the Starks, knowing that Sansa would tell Tyrion, knowing that Tyrion would talk to Varys, knowing they'd scheme for Dany's death, knowing that would piss her off, which led her to be the Mad Queen. So he, the entire time, kind of set this whole thing up, and at the end he goes, oh yeah, no, I don't want to be king. Oh, but why did I travel all this way to be here? No. Look, I love the opportunity to be in the show, which most people probably don't think I was, but I was there. I love the show, but, you know, the writers are also doing Star Wars, so I think they might have been a little busy this last season.
I love that Aaron Rodgers, that's right, he deserves a standing O. Aaron Rodgers, he encapsulated the feelings of every Game of Thrones fans with that 90 seconds on the finale. So, Tony, now that you've heard it, was I right? Are you and Aaron Rodgers now best friends?
Oh, yeah. I've always respected the man. I mean, just the excellence of what he does as a quarterback. I think all Bears fans should respect him and love him because of what he does. But, yeah, this is definitely something that's going to bring me closer to the Packers side of things as long as he's there. So, yeah, my sentiments perfectly. Exactly. Everything that he explained in that clip is how I felt.
You would think that someone involved with the show would have thought about some of this, too, because as Tyrion is saying that, I'm like, Bran's got the best story? Come on, fam. Come on, son. That's not true. There's a whole table worth of people over there that have a better story. So I'm glad that Aaron, he ran it all down for you. And I knew that it would make Tony happy because it gives his sometimes fiery takes, it gives them more validity because Aaron Rodgers is a really smart dude. And if the really smart dude was like, that was trash, it gives Tony license to go, man, that was trash. You know how trash it was? Aaron Rodgers said it was trash. So it's super trashy. This will probably be the most fun that we'll have with Jim Ozarski, who covers the Packers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, mainly because we just decided to call him in the middle of the segment because he was listening to the show, as he always is, which is great. He covers the Packers for the Journal Sentinel, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and you can follow him on Twitter at Jim Ozarski. He's a friend of ours, and he joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. So were you surprised that Aaron Rodgers went in on Game of Thrones, Jim?
No, not at all, Lawrence, because first of all, he was teasing his sort of appearance pretty much since he filmed it, whenever, you know, was they filmed season 5. So he's been a fan. And as you said, he thinks about this stuff. I mean, it's kind of, look, yeah, he's Aaron Rodgers, it's Game of Thrones, it's pop culture, but I'll be honest, as a beat guy, Lawrence, you can speak to this, Tony, as well. It's kind of, it brings these guys to our level, right? Like, you know, they're these athletes, top 0.001% of the physical world, right? No one can do what they can do. But at the end of the day, on Sunday nights, he's sitting there like the rest of us, right? And thinking about all these things and no doubt talking with friends about all these things. And so, no, I was not surprised that he would be that sort of passionate about it.
It does seem a little strange, though, because, look, he is one of the more talkative quarterbacks in the NFL. He actually does say interesting stuff from time to time. But a lot of times these guys don't say anything at all. So, I mean, I get it. It's May. There's nothing to talk about in Packerland, even though we will try to have fun with OTAs and what this means and what that means. But I kind of like that he's like, yeah, how about we just talk about Game of Thrones for a little bit?
No, you're right. And look, if, on a football level, it's a little bit of a nice distraction. I mean, it's a new head coach, and you're trying to learn about offense and all the stuff that he dealt with, you know, earlier in the offseason with him and McCarthy and all that kind of deal. So while we did ask him about his relationship building with the new head coach, look, he's a part owner of the Milwaukee Bucks. He's a huge fan of Game of Thrones, obviously was part of it. So there's been some nice, relevant, deflecting of things, and you're right, things to talk about. And as you said, he likes to say things. And as a fan, and look, clearly his fandom, his stardom as a football player got him a bit role, right? It's like Mac from Always Sunny, forget that actor's name, Ed Sheeran. It's a thing people wanted to be involved with. He had enough juice to get involved with, but yet was like, no, I'm not happy with that. You know, I could see why he would do it, though, for sure, as big a fan as he is.
All right, I'm going to now get you in trouble as someone who covers the team. What Game of Thrones character is Aaron Rodgers in the Packers Game of Thrones?
You know what's funny? As I think about that...
Yeah, like, don't filibuster on me, Ozarski!
He tweeted that initially. He's like, hasn't Aaron Rodgers been playing Game of Thrones for however long? You know, he's not as subtle as Arya Stark. Oh man,
You know what? You are doing a terrible job of this, Ozarski. You know, I bring you on here because you are Moni's finest, and you can't even give me what Game of Thrones character Aaron Rodgers is. This is ridiculous.
He's the man standing. He's got to be Jon Snow, right? Because he doesn't have the throne. He's not the head coach. He's not player coach. But he also maybe kind of helped remove the guy on the throne.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I think that is fair. And now he is out in the wilderness and is very cold in Green Bay. So that actually plays that he's been sent back to the wall, but he's going to ride out with the free people.
Yeah.
And Davante Adams and him are just going to roll out, and we'll see what happens. Is there anything meaningful football-wise that we should know from Packers OTAs?
I guess as a Bears fan, Aaron Rodgers feels he can get this new offense down, the one you've seen in L.A., Atlanta in 16, San Francisco. He feels he can get it down and have a good handle on it by training camp. For perspective, Lawrence, that's about 3 months. He got the playbook April 8th. He said it took him 3 years to learn Mike McCarthy's. So, I think that's one of the reasons this offense is so prevalent, why teams want to copy it, because it is relatively simple. It's a lot of the same things out of different formations. So it's I guess as a Bears fan, he's feeling pretty confident that the Packers offense will be up and rolling pretty quickly. Because at the end of the day, Lawrence, Matt LaFleur remains the biggest addition to this offense. They drafted
all right,
that's enough.
That's enough analysis. You gave me the headline. The headline is that Rodgers is picking up the offense. That's scary enough. And here's who he is. He's the Night King. And you know who Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack are? They're Arya Stark. That's right. That's it. It's enough, Ozarski. Get him out of here. It's enough of him. It's crap. That is kind of scary, though, that Aaron Rodgers feels like he's picked up the offense already. It's real scary. Real scary. Bottom of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves and San Diego are tied at one game apiece in the Western Conference Finals. The Wolves return home Monday for Game 6 at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at just $15. For playoff and ticket information, visit chicagowolves.com. A couple of different texts. Is this a Packers station now? No, we took 6 minutes to talk about something fun in sports.
Come on, guys. Don't be that guy or that lady.
They're out there. And here's the thing. Someone's like, do you have something on Bears OTAs? Actually, I do. I actually do have something on Bears OTA. But it is OTA. And I'm glad that Matt Nagy did this because it's the only reason to talk about Bears OTA is what Matt Nagy did. But unfortunately, we won't get to that until later. Because coming up next, we are going to talk baseball. Cubs Roundtable is in effect. Tony Andracki from NBC Sports Chicago, Evan Altman from Cubs Insider, and Sahadev Sharma from The Athletic are going to join me, and we're going to talk baseball. See? So we went from being a Packer station back to being the home of the Cubs. You're listening to The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.